Judge Stewart and Senator Coghill and Irene Payton, and then here in Juneau, we have Senator Lyce and myself, Pat Pochot. Before us today is the complaint that we received last Friday. Normally, we would conduct all of our deliberations in a closed session pursuant to the Act. A couple of factors come into play in this case, as with the case that we've been handling the complaint against Senator Adams, in that the person making the complaint, even before we got it filed or sent the his complaint to both the Anchorage Daily News and the Peninsula paper, and it has widely been publicized since that time. In addition, in a letter that you should have received that I sent to Senator Fisher requesting his permission to hold an open meeting as far as our taking up the complaint or not, and he has responded to the letter. It's a very short letter, and for the purposes of the people on teleconference, I'd like to just read that letter to you. Dear Senator Pochot, this is a letter dated March 28 from Senator Paul Fisher. Dear Senator Pochot, your letter of March 21, 1989, relaying the complaint made to the Ethics Committee by Chris Shelb, has been received. The subcommittee has my concurrence with its proposals as outlined in your correspondence to acknowledge to the public receipt of Mr. Shelb's complaint and to meet in public to discuss whether to investigate the complaint. It is my intent to have a written response to the Ethics Committee no later than April 3, 1989. Presently, I am awaiting several pieces of backup information which should be available within this time frame. This situation is taking excessive time and energy during this busy legislative session, and I look forward to having it resolved in an expeditious manner. If there is any way I can assist you or the committee toward this goal, you may be assured of my full cooperation. Cordially, Paul Fisher, Senator Paul Fisher. Along those lines, I think that as with our preceding complaint, it's my intention to, and we are in open session, although for the there's only a member of Senator Fisher's staff here and my staff in the audience, we are considering this an open session. And it would be my intention to have any discussion as far as whether to initiate an investigation pursuant to the complaint that we received. And pending that discussion and pending a motion and approval by the committee to proceed with investigation, it would be my intention to take up the draft resolution outlining the nature and scope of the inquiry. And that would be the extent of our deliberations this morning. Yes, sir.
This is Tom Stewart, Judge Stewart. I'm not certain that it's required by the rules, but I think it would be desirable. And accordingly, I would move that we address this matter in open public session. I think it should be decided by the committee that that should be done, rather than simply by your announcing that it would be done.
I agree. I think that would be appropriate.
The matter of whether the complaint warrants an investigation, and secondly, whether it should be summarily dismissed, and third, if the proposed resolution number two should be adopted, that all those subject matters be considered in open session.
I concur, Judge. And is there any discussion on the motion to hold the proceedings on those topics in open session?
Do you need a second?
No.
If there's no discussion, is there any opposition to holding the proceedings on those topics in open session?
I have no opposition.
Hearing no opposition, then we will be meeting in open session for the purposes outlined in Judge Stewart's motion. Is there any discussion or questions on the complaint?
For purposes of the discussion, this is Judge Stewart again, Mr. Chairman. I would move that the complaint should be investigated.
It's been moved to investigate the complaint. Is there discussion on the motion? And I think Judge Stewart, for purposes of discussion, just a comment, I think Judge Stewart's comment was a good one, that there is a procedure that I interpret as providing an opportunity for the committee to dismiss out of hand or summarily dismiss just on the face of the complaint complaints that we might deem frivolous or simply on its surface not pertinent or not under the ethics statute. I guess as a comment on that threshold question, I don't think we're in that situation. I think that there are charges, and at this stage just newspaper charges or allegations that on their surface do fall within the confines that are under some provisions of the ethics statute.
Mr. Chairman, this is Senator Knoxville. The only question that I have is, what about the precedent that we're going to set using a newspaper article as the approach to a complaint, rather than it being firsthand by the complainant? He's picking a newspaper article and an election sheet that was distributed as to the character of the senator. Are we setting something? And I think that we have to go forward with the investigation. And just that if we have a overzealous reporter at some time down the line, or even maybe in this case, where that some of those factual information is it your intent then to first of all interrogate or have to investigate the reporter's base of where he's getting this information from and go from there, or are we going to have a series of these where if we have a investigative reporter that doesn't like a particular political figure, that we're going to find ourselves in a position of investigating all of them because we've taken this one on?
Senator Coghill, this is Senator Porchot. A couple of comments on that. One, I probably don't need to remind you that, in essence, the committee complaint against Senator Adams was essentially the same thing. We initiated the complaint based, again, essentially on newspaper accounts. I share your concern about the veracity of newspaper accounts. There's certainly always a problem there. The problem is that we have not set up any strict guidelines or limits for the filing of a complaint, and I think that the investigation itself is how we have to determine the truth or the relevancy of the charges made, and certainly any investigation in this matter would have to investigate, challenge, check, whatever word you want to use, the accuracy of the newspaper account. And we, as in the case of Senator Adams, we do not, you know, the committee in its investigation does not treat any account as truth just on the surface. I would also add that as far as the ability of a citizen to just attach the newspaper articles in the complaint, of course, by Mr. Shelb, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, he does talk in his complaint about travel related to personal business, personal employment, travel, campaign activities. Clearly, he's paraphrasing a newspaper account, but our attorney and myself, in looking at the complaint, we are treating it as a validly filed complaint.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff Stewart. I'm inclined to agree with Senator Coghill that it's a matter of concern where these complaints appear to be based on no more personal information than a newspaper article. But I think in this case there is at least some small measure of additional material in the statement that Mr. Shelb has sworn to. And that seems at least to infer, if not imply, that his belief of the truth of at least some of the allegations that were made in the newspaper. Secondly, the character of this particular newspaper story seems to be a very detailed accounting, naming dates, naming documents, and being very specific in its allegations, so that while I agree with Senator Coghill that we should look, if not with a jaundiced eye, at least with a questioning, inquisitive eye to complaints that are based on newspaper articles, nevertheless, I think in this specific instance, there is sufficient matter stated, and is stated with sufficient specificity, that we should, in support of my motion, we should proceed with an investigation.
Other comments on the complaint. Ms. Payton, were you trying to speak?
Yes. My comment perhaps would be that it may be as important to the person involved that we do investigate to lay to rest any, if part of this is not fact. So that should be a consideration, I think.
Other comments?
Well, Senator Kuskerbelt, this is Senator Cox. So I agree with Irene, and I also agree with Judge Stewart. My reason for raising the issue is that the issue seems to be from a removed position of the complainant, and not from personal experience. The newspaper article is brought by a reporter, where in the Adams case, it was reporting items that were said in court, in the open court, and I think that there was a little more factual position to it. I'm not opposed to the going forward with the complaint. My concern is that we want to make sure that we're on solid ground as far as that we don't get a flood of these over the next few years because it's been a press. That's my only concern.
Thank you, Senator. Other comments? Is there any objection to the motion for the committee to initiate an investigation pursuant to the complaint by Mr. Shelb against Senator Fisher?
No.
No objection.
No objection.
Then without objection, the committee will initiate an investigation pursuant to the complaint against Senator Fisher. The next order of business, which is our hopefully not becoming a standard operating procedure, but one that we have gone through now, is to adopt a resolution outlining the nature and scope of the investigation. Mr. Gabin, our counsel, has provided a draft of such a resolution should the committee have voted to initiate the investigation. Hopefully before you is a draft of that. At this time, I would ask for any comment or questions on the draft resolution.
Mr. Chairman, for purposes of discussion, so we have something before us, I move that the committee adopt proposed resolution number 2, in re the complaint against Senator Paul Fisher, SC89-02, as stated in the title of that proposed resolution.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the resolution? We've tried to boilerplate this as much as possible from our resolution number 1 in the case of Senator Adams, and have not, I don't believe, tried to stray beyond the stated facts as we know them from Mr. Shelb's complaint or the accompanying newspaper articles.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff Stewart. Can I put my phone down for about 30 seconds, and I'll be right with you.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't we just pause for 30 seconds here? We've just paused here momentarily. Any discussion on the adoption of resolution number 2 outlining the nature and scope of our investigation? Is there any objection to the adoption?
Complete based on the allegations of the complaint and materials that appear there, which I did read through in detail, and I can envision there could possibly be a future time in which we might want to amend the paragraph 2, A, B, C, D, and E, but I don't see any reason to do so at this moment, and I'm satisfied with the resolution in the form that it appears.
Yeah, Judge Stewart, that was my thought too. That as is our case, I don't. That's the 2 A B C E is not. That is the best of our knowledge at this time. It's not necessarily a all-inclusive list, and as you stated, could be amended at a later time if additional information comes to light in the investigation.
Senator Purcell, this is Senator Cockfield. Wouldn't you want to put that in as other such information that comes before the investigators and report to the committee, or do you just want to go with this? I have no problem with the rest.
Mr. Chair, a broad a statement of other things discerned, because that doesn't tell the Senator Fisher what it is we're going to deal with. And it seems to me that we should only put those things in there to which we have specific reference. And that's why I say it ought to be treated by an amendment, so that if he gets anything more that he has to answer that is specific in nature rather than generalized statement of anything we might find. So I'd be reluctant to add that kind of an additional subparagraph.
Yeah, I would too. Irene, yes, go ahead.
I would agree. I would prefer to do it by amendment.
I too agree, and I think that as we've seen from Senator Fisher's letter and in my communications with him, he is trying to respond on a point-by-point basis, and in his letter he mentions response by April 3rd. I know he is actively involved in trying to document his travels, and I think he is anxiously awaiting a specific list of things that we're looking at. So I agree that, to our best of our knowledge now, this would constitute that list. Other discussion? Is there any objection to adopting the resolution number 2?
No objection.
If not, the committee unanimously adopts resolution number 2 outlining the nature and scope of our investigation on this complaint. That concludes our formal business. What I'd like to just advise the committee and also seek your advice on is the nature of the investigation. It's my intention to proceed expeditiously on this. It is also my thought, and I'd welcome other comments and suggestions, that this complaint is different. I would view it much differently than the other complaint that we are investigating. I frankly see this as a detailed audit type investigation rather than I can't think of another one other than an Audi type the private investigator investigation. It would be my intention at this time not to seek a motion for authorization to let a contract in excess of $5,000 under our rules to hire an investigator. Rather, it would be my intention, subject to the committee's advice, that Mr. Gagin, our counsel, in addition to an auditor type person or an auditor that we could secure, and if not, and if barring that, maybe a modest contract falling underneath the $5,000 guidelines to assist Mr. Gagin in essentially conducting an audit of travel and expenditures that have been suggested as allegations in this complaint.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jeff Stewart. I don't have any objection to that, although I think maybe the record of our conduct should include either a motion or an approval of your outline. If I understand your outline correctly, the investigation will be conducted by our staff counsel, Mr. Gagin, with the assistance of someone either from the legislative or executive audit offices, as you may determine appropriate. To audit the state records with relation to these specific allegations.
Judge Stewart, you actually said it better than I did. I would only amend it with the one addition to your statement that should we not be able to get adequate audit function or independent enough audit function from legislative or executive branches, that I would like to be authorized or agreed that. To undertake a contract with a private auditor, an auditor in the private sector.
I don't have any problem with that, except I think that if that were to happen, that the committee should again convene on the telephone or however it's feasible to approve the proposed entry into such a contract, even though the amount might fall under a requisite amount. I think the committee is in a better position if the members have been able to review the proposal for the work and with whom it's to be contracted before such a contract is in fact endorsed.
I would be happy to do that. I think that's a good idea.
Sean, I have a question. I don't know how do you visualize this audit to be done? Now, it's simple enough to go to legislative affairs agencies to get the information relative to the paper. But
I'm not getting. I'm breaking the continuity of Senator Lassen's comments.
I'm sorry, Judge. I should get a little closer, I guess. I'm just merely saying that I was questioning how we envision this audit to work. It's simple enough, of course, to get this information from the legislative affairs agency. Anyone who could get that information. There's other information which has to be sort of tucked into it, which is maybe airplane schedules or those types of things. Who is going to get that information? How do you intend to handle that part of it? And certainly not by an audit.
I envisioned that Mr. Gagin would probe that. He might have to use some secretarial assistance to ask somebody in the legislative affairs staff to look up such a schedule, but that he would direct that effort.
I too, that's how I envision it. There are, as you mentioned, several components. I'm not an auditor, but how I would envision is obviously starting with LIA, starting with travel records. Senator Fisher has indicated his cooperation. Someone would have to piece together his accounts, his documents with the other documents. And then, of course, there's the third check, which I think you referred to, which is if someone says they're in a certain location, a meeting with a certain location, and someone, Mr. Gagin, for example, I would envision calling those people to see if those actions had occurred on that date. So there's, it really is, it's kind of a double and triple cross-checking to ascertain what the flow and sequence of events were.
Senator Parcheau.
Ms. Payton?
First, I have to apologize. I had to exit from a meeting, so I really need to get back to that meeting. But the way that you have pictured the investigation is exactly what I hoped that the committee would do in this instance.
Procedure as outlined in Judge Stewart's statement and Senator Coghill's motion. Judge Stewart, I wonder before we leave you, do we have some phone numbers for you in the next couple of weeks?
I left with Jeannie by complete itinerary with my phone contacts along the way.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your need to be in travel status, but we also certainly appreciate your assistance in our efforts here. And we look forward to your return. As you know, we have additional business before the committee that awaits our attention. And so, for members of the committee, it's still my intention to try to reconvene on other matters towards the end of April as soon as possible.
My return date is Monday evening, the 24th of April.
Well, we might give you a chance to sleep overnight, Judge. Is there any other business to come before the committee? If not, thank you very much, all of you, for participating on teleconference and taking time out. Ms. Payton, I appreciate your taking time out from the meeting. We stand adjourned, subject to call the chair.
Thank you.
When are you coming back, Jack?